Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas. Come on in. Let's get this started. Few days before Christmas, it is wonderful to be together. Everybody, come on in from outside. Have a seat. Come on in. That's it. We got our bouncer back there, Mark. He's going to make everybody sit down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, it is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hi.
I'll tell you, when I see that blue sky, that always gives me an extra spring in my step, no matter what I'm dealing with. It's like you look up and you say, thank you, Lord, for a new day. Isn't that right? Amen. Yeah, exactly. Especially after the weather that we've had. Thank you, Lord. Where's Miss Neely? We got to get Miss. Oh, there she is. She snuck in. She snuck in behind me. All right. All right. Well, why don't we start out with a word of prayer and we will get started. Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for this day. Father God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your sound mind. I thank you for helping us through all of the struggles and trials throughout this year. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this season of celebration for your birth. Father God, we thank you that the world does look at this time in remembrance of you coming to this earth and dying for our sins and being raised again, Lord God. Thank you for making a way where there was no way, Lord Jesus. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, one of the things that amazes me, one of the many things that amazes me in Scripture is the prophecies that foretell of Christ's coming. And this prophecy in Isaiah 9 was given approximately 700 years before Christ was born. Isaiah 9 says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Isn't that amazing? 700 years before Christ returned. Before he came the first time, excuse me. But that gives me hope that they knew of Christ coming someday, and it was 700 years until it finally happened. Well, we've been told that Christ is coming someday, and we don't know when it is, but we know that it will happen. So that gives us hope that it will happen. We just don't know when. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Amen. Well, today I would like you to stand and to just think about any type of perfect setting of a whole bunch of Christmas carolers going throughout the community and singing to your friends and your neighbors, and kind of the storybook thing that we always wish we could do but never really did. But anyway, that's what we want to do today, is just sing some wonderful Christmas carols and worship the Lord that way. All right? So, Olivia, get us a key.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in excellence. exaltation. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy Christmas. Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. We'll praise your name forever. We'll praise your name forever. We'll praise your name forever, Christ the Lord.
One more time, we'll praise.
We'll praise your name forever. We'll praise your name forever. We'll praise your name forever, Christ the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. O little town of Bethlehem.
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars, together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
And it's so wonderful to think of the angels that met the shepherds, that the shepherds were the first ones that heard the announcement that he was born, that the wise men knew that something was happening and they were going to go find it, but go find him. But it was the shepherds that first heard the proclamation.
Yep. Hark the herald angels singing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adore, Christ the everlasting Lord. In a manger born a king, while adoring angels sing. Peace on earth to men goodwill, bid the trembling soul be still. Christ on earth has come to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heavenly Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he laid his glory by, born that he no more may die. Born to raise us from the earth, born to give a second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And it wouldn't be Christmas without us thinking about Silent Night and singing about Silent Night. And this, wow, I can't even say the words without getting all emotional. My grandfather, who is still with us, always sang this in German, Stille Nacht, because he was Pennsylvania Dutch, which is a German-Dutch dialect from Pennsylvania. But there was always, Lord help me, there was always a fond memory of hearing my grandfather sing that. He is still with us, but he doesn't sing this very much anymore. His voice isn't as strong as it used to be, but it is wonderful to think that in Luke 2:16 that they hurried off and found Mary, Joseph, and the babe who were lying in the manger. So because of that, we can sing Silent Night.
Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm. Tender and mild. Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light with the angels, let us sing. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Luke 2, 11 through 14 says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying altogether, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. So because of that, we can sing joy to the world.
Amen.
Yes.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven nature sing. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let us our songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy.
Merry Christmas! Amen, amen. Merry Christmas.
Good morning, everybody.
He rules the world. Yes. Yes, it is. Hezekiah, do me a favor. In the back of my trunk, there should be a little box like this big and that wide. It's got a bunch of DVDs in it. Can you go get that for me? Thanks. All righty, kids. Now, can I have this? Is this okay? All right. Cup of love. All right. Make sure this is set up right here. Okay. Well, we are so glad that you are here for celebrating Christmas. And there are some things that we're going to do something a little bit differently. The Lord had me do something really fun. And when I say fun, I don't mean that. It just so happens, you know, we had about 30 pages of notes and typed written. And then I couldn't print them out on our print. You know how that stuff goes. Couldn't print it out. And then we couldn't print it out. The only ink that wouldn't print out in black. And so then I was trying to reformat 30 pages and because I could copy it over. But anyway, blah, blah, blah. I just threw out all the notes. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray. And the Lord has a little message for us today, and we're going to go through the announcements, but the Lord has, I think, a little special message. It's a little bit different than what we normally do, but that's okay. God has a message for you and for me today. All right, so just announcements. Of course, we got tons of free bread back from Panera, and yes, we really do have it. It's back there, so please take some. It's not from last week. This is new stuff from last night. I don't know. It was a bunch of DVDs.
This is the only box in there.
Okay, you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, double check.
Double check.
Thank you. Would you do that? Okay, you guys know tithes and the offerings are get put back in the back. We have a little bird box back there. Now, for missions, just to let you know, we're doing something. Two things, if you're interested. For those of you who know Hugh, who's in prison right now, if you would like to help him and send him any finances, $10, $20, we could buy things like snacks or underwear, anything like that. You can give that money to George and contact him, and we're just trying to help him and bless him. Also, Paul and Marcia Cowley, what we're doing for December, if you guys would like to do something above your tithes, we're providing. I just talked to him via email yesterday, and let me go back one. And we're providing Bibles. He trains in the slums of Kenya. And I mean, this is what it looks like. 1 million people in 2 area slums where he goes, and he's lived there for ministered for, I think, 20 years. And they go every day and they minister. And they actually train up pastors who live in these slums. Most of them will never, ever get out. But they have so much joy and they have so much encouragement, because see, in America, we're really spoiled. If we don't have the right job, or we don't have the right relationship, we don't have the right attitude, or we don't have the right finances, or we don't have the right car, we get all huffy puffy, we get all Eeyore-y, we think we should have a better life. And yet, here's folks in the slums of Kenya who have so much joy, because their heart and their focus is not on things below, but on things above, which is what Scripture tells us in America. Stop looking around at everything in your circumstances or everything you don't have, and start thinking of everything that you do have. You have salvation, riches beyond measure in Christ Jesus. You have exceedingly abundantly more than anything you could ever ask for or imagine. For eternity, you have the treasure found in these earthen vessels. Anyway, we're providing Bibles for them. They cost about $12. He said they're hard to find in Kenya, so they might be more. I just told him, our church body, regardless of how much, if you want to just give, their Bibles are 12 bucks each, 12 to 15 bucks each. Just put it in there for 12. We want to get 60 Bibles, one for every single person for this whole class, for this semester, for all these pastors. We're going to provide it for him. He's so overjoyed. And if they cost more, we'll compensate for it. But if you want to do that, you can put that in the tithe box back in the back as well.
Did they not go through some very, very serious health issues and trials last year?
Yes, there is always those things. Yeah, there. Yeah, but I'll probably have to save that for another another time. But yes, I'll just say that. Yes, and he said, literally, tell your congregation how overjoyed. He said, literally, because you guys are providing Bibles for all these pastors we're training, we're literally all going to be on the same page. I'll tell them. Yes. Okay, all right, thank you. All right, it's okay, thank you. Okay, so, of course, you guys are always welcome to join us Sunday mornings for prayer. Gary is out today. Gary and Mary, they're over on the other coast. Which was some of our families, just visiting family. But we do have men's Bible studies first and third Tuesdays. And we also have women's Bible studies, the second Tuesday of each month, going through the book of Ephesians. Wednesday's youth group. Hey, do we have a youth group or no? Not this week, I'm guessing. Where's Josh and Amanda Panic? Yes. Are we having a youth group or no? Just no. No youth group. Okay, I thought so.
Yeah, just so
okay, I just wanted to make sure. Okay, so no youth group this week. And we are signing up our Experiencing God course, 14-week study. If I could make you take this course, I would make you do it. Cost is $15 each. It's a 14-week course. Yes, there's homework. I guarantee if you stick with it for 14 weeks, you will be hearing the Lord's voice better. You will be seeing him work more. You will be challenged to step out in faith. Your faith will grow. Your relationship with him will grow and with one another. And that's going to be on Thursday nights from 6:30 to 8:30. No food for you. Just homework and fellowship. And I guarantee, I'm begging you to take that course. And then there's a sign-up sheet, Mr. Shuttlebauer, somewhere?
I don't know where the other paper
is. Oh, sorry. Make sure.
I'll put him on a clipboard.
You're amazing. Okay, so just put your name and your phone number on here. Now, don't put it down willy-nilly, because we're going to get books for you. It costs money. It's $15. If you can't afford it, we'll provide it free. We just want you to take the course, but you have to stick with it. Okay, none of this namby-pamby stuff. And no, you can't use your wife's book or your husband's book. You get your own book because it's your own personal relationship with the Lord. All right, Mama Hetherington, I saw your hand.
Every single night.
Okay, it's probably 5 nights. Now, let me tell you what I did as a guy, just to be blunt honest. This is not what you should do. Okay, what I did was I saved up about 3 or 4 of them and then did it all at once. Now, what's best is you do a little bit every night, you know, whether it be the 30 minutes or 40 minutes, whatever it takes every night. But again, this would replace your devotional time even, whatever. I'm telling you, this is what
you do. So it's daily. It's supposed to be daily.
Uh-huh. Yeah, supposed to be daily. Right. And that's the best way to do it. Again, sometimes I would save up a few and then do, you know. But there'll be about 5 days. Yeah, I would say a week. Yeah, good. Guarantee you will grow in your relationship with the Lord. Okay. Also, we have a little self-defense class. You can call Anthony. Leteri, raise your hand. Okay. I think girls is going to be December 28th, which is what?
This Friday.
Okay, from 6 to 9. And then the boys is going to be the following Friday. I know we're all...
January 4th, anybody could come to that.
Okay.
Anybody could come to that. I just wanted to have at least one day that the ladies and the girls could come, feel more comfortable without guys around, and just have that one day themselves. Yes. But anybody could come on the 4th.
Okay, I think that's fantastic.
And it's all donation only. If you don't have it, don't worry about it. Please just come and learn. If you have anything. Okay.
If you do have it, bring
money,
$10-$20, because each one of those is going to go towards the Bible, if I understand it.
Yes, on the 20th, all that money is going to go towards the Bibles for the African missionaries.
Fantastic. So please bring some finances for that. That's fantastic. I think that's great. Thank you for offering that. Also, everybody's wanted to know baby dedication pictures. I haven't had time to put them up. So there's little Ashley and Nick and their baby. Isn't that cute?
Who's the guy on the right?
Okay, and I think I'm wearing the same shirt for a couple weeks from the baby dedication, too. I was a little embarrassed about that. So we got a couple baby dedications. And there's Sonny and Rachel, our little squirm berm. And so we got, and we also wanted to show you, just say thank you for everybody's help at the Christmas party. It was absolutely amazing. We served lasagna and pasta. There was at least 90 people that came for dinner and fellowship. And then at least another 60, maybe more, that stayed afterwards for just for the White Elephant gift exchange. And we had everything was set up so beautifully. So many people helped. Lisa did an amazing job. So many people helped. Inside and outside was set up with tons of tables. It was just a fantastic family fun time with just tremendous food. We had our little elves helpers for the White Elephant gift. Even Gary was dressed like an elf. He's not here, but that was fantastic time. And there were so many pictures. I just couldn't get them all in. But I think we're going to put them online. But it was just an absolutely fun, amazing, loud time. And that's honestly what it made me think of. If you missed it, I'm so sorry. Don't feel guilt. like if you weren't here. Yeah, but that just, we don't.
Yeah, because they really missed
it. Yeah.
Awesome party that you and
Lee. Oh, you're saying do feel guilt. Okay. Well, we don't want you, but we want you to know, like, it was such a great family time. And I just hate that you guys are missing out. It was really wonderful. I didn't even get a meatball. All right. All right, so here we go. Okay, so today's message, if you would open your Bibles, or get your Bibles, I think we're going to start off in Luke. But if you don't have a Bible, Elijah, can you grab a few of these Bibles right here? If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand, and Elijah will bring one right to you. Today's message is called The Christmas Dilemma. Now, I used to have a, I have a friend that would go to youth group, and her name was Emma. And now we have a girl at school, kind of reminded me of it, another girl named Emma. And I nicknamed her Emma Dilemma because there was always, she always had some, you know, things she was wrestling with, whether it was, you know, something at home or something in the relationship or some, there was some big dilemma, some that she had to wrestle with, this life thing that she had to, so I thought, okay, when I was thinking of, when I was putting this together, I thought of her, and I thought of life changes. And what happens is we celebrate Christmas, okay? And we're going to look at people's lives because when Jesus really comes into a life, there's an interruption there. Life doesn't stay the same. Now, you can either go right or you go left. You could follow him. You could ignore him. But you can't stay where you're at. You're going to go in a direction. He's a life changer. Mm-hmm. And it's practical. You know, when we encounter Jesus, we have a dilemma. We can't stay where we're at and go with God at the same time. You have to make a choice. I have to make a choice. We each do in our lives. We've got a dilemma when we encounter God. And we're going to learn that in experiencing God big time. But we're going to look at a few people's lives very briefly. Mary, Joseph, the innkeeper, the wise men, and the shepherds. And we've got a little video clips now. I'm using little video clips. These are not, and the video clips are using the Christmas story, but also in a little bit of a modern day setting, because Jesus is not just the baby in the manger that changed life back then, but he's also the Savior that changes lives right now in today's time and throughout history. You're not going to get, you know, we're not talking about Brad Pitt as an actor. You're getting people who love the Lord and scenery, right, on a Christian budget. But it's done well. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at these five people really quickly, and we're going to see how God changed lives. Now, the first one, we're going to go and see. We're going to show a video in just a second here. But is Mary, and she has the dilemma of saying yes to God's word. And we're going to roll that film, if George, if you're ready, and then we'll come up here and we'll go through some scriptures, if that's okay with you, Jorge. Okay? Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
Have made a grand entrance into this world now, haven't you? Not an entrance a king would make. A manger of all places. No palace, no guards. Just a barn and a lot of hay, if you ask me. What am I to make of all of these guests? That silent night sure got loud fast. I suppose you'd like to know how all this came to be, wouldn't you? Well, on an ordinary day, more ordinary than you can imagine, an angel came to me. I know. I had trouble believing it myself. He spoke of things I couldn't really comprehend. He spoke of you, the Son of the Most High. He looked straight at me, as if to ask, will you say yes? It was the scariest yes I'd ever uttered. Tell you the truth, this was an impossible yes that only God could make possible. Never in my wildest dreams. Speaking of dreams, is it okay that I have dreams for you too? All mamas have dreams for their babies, you know. Even babies announced by heavenly hosts. My little one. I have a strange feeling this will not be the only yes required of me. I cannot begin to imagine the yeses that will be required of you. God help me. One faithful day at a time. To keep saying yes.
You know, I remember when Miriam's sister one time at a prayer meeting, if you, those of you know Andy, she's a wonderful lady and she communicates very uniquely. And I remember her sitting and asking me a question about the Lord, about Jesus, about my Savior. And I remember answering her, and I answered her so well. I was really impressed with my answer. I don't even remember the question now, but I remember how impressed I was with my answer. I mean, I answered it completely, theologically, perfectly. And I remember at the end of this incredible explanation, as there was a bunch of people listening, feeling so very proud of my in-depth, complete, theological, perfectly answer. And I remember Andy has a nice way of putting these things, and she just looked at me so sweetly and she said, you know, Pastor Darren, I feel like I asked you for the time and you told me how to build a watch from scratch. And I thought, sometimes we can answer in ways that might be intellectually correct, theologically correct, but we can miss the heart of the question and the simplicity of the gospel, right? Mary, I want you to put yourself in her position. She's a young girl. She loves the Lord, absolutely. But she's being put in a position to where she is saying yes to God. And I love her prayer there at the end. Did you notice that? Help me, Lord, just to say yes to you one day at a time. Because sometimes in this walk, right, it gets overwhelming. Listen, it's not just you. It's me. It's you. We can all get overwhelmed. But we have to say yes to the word of the Lord. Every single day, each day is a new day. His mercies are new every morning. That's our God. That's the simplicity of the gospel. We just have to say yes and take him at his word. When I look at the scriptures in Luke, I'm just going to read this real quickly here. Chris, or Elijah, would you hit the lights? Thanks. Thanks, buddy. This is in the Gospel of Luke. And I'm just going to read this. Okay. This is in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. I'm just going to start reading. In the 6 months, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. And for those who have been with us, those of you who have been with us in our Daniel study, this is one of the few angels that we know by name in the Bible. So God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. Now, I got to a town in Galilee to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. Now, I have to tell you, Nazareth is a podunk town. Okay, so Mary, in a tiny little town. Jerusalem, I would expect the Savior to be born. I'd expect a godly, but just an average person in an average town that God's going to call, and she's going to have to say yes, just like you and I. Not many of us were super amazingly world politicians or Bill Gates moneymakers or businessmen or, but he chose, I don't know, the foolish things to confound the wise. I'm one of those foolish things. An average guy, Sarasota, Bradenton, he saved me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because I took him at his word. I believed what he said. I believed what he promised me. And I can tell you that he came through. It says that she was, in verse 27, she was a virgin, pledged to be married. In those days, when you were getting married, that's how, well, not in these days too, that's how it was supposed to be. So she was pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Verse 28 says, the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is really with you. Now, God has that same love for her that he has for you. You're highly favored, richly blessed, and that's not just a dumb little Christian saying. If you're born again Christian, you are highly favored. You are richly blessed beyond measure. It says that Mary was greatly troubled. And I just think sometimes maybe some of us, as God's speaking to us about things, we get that same route. Maybe you're greatly troubled right now. Maybe you're going through a real hard time as God's challenging you with some stuff, as God's speaking to you, and it's a little overwhelming for you. But God is with you. You remember that you are highly favored and richly blessed. You don't doubt the goodness of God in the dark times. Well, we do, but you remember what he's spoken to you in the light times. Do you know what I'm saying? You take him at his word. Not how you're feeling. She goes on to say in Luke, it goes on to say that in verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, don't be afraid. And I think that's what he would say to you and me. Fear not, for I am with you. You know, in Psalm 23, he says, my rod and my staff comfort you, you know. I'm with you. I'm your protector. I'm your provider. I'm your Jehovah Jireh. I'm your Jehovah Rapha, your healer. It goes on to say in God's word, it says, you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, which just means the Lord is salvation in Hebrew. Interesting, huh? And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child that was going to be John the Baptist in her old age. And she who has been barren is in her 6th month. And it says something in verse 37, which I think is really cool. Oh, I lost my clicker, my remote. That's what I get for walking around. Well, Jorge, you're going to have to be my remote, George. Do you mind? You can do it by the computer, right? Thank you. I love what it says. It says, for nothing is impossible with God. And then verse 38 says this, and I love this. If you look in your Bibles, it says, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said, or according to your word. I love this verse. I am the Lord's servant. See, God's asking her to do an impossible thing. She doesn't even understand how it could even happen, right? Well, let me tell you, when you obey God's word and stuff and in situations, it's impossible many times. But it says, for nothing is impossible with God. You have to trust him. You have to take him at his word. You have to say, yes, I will trust in you, Lord. Yes, I will hold on to your word no matter what. And we have to answer, and this is a question, a couple questions for us. You know, can we say that? Can we say, I know you're asking me something impossible to do here. I'm going to probably be an outcast or whatever, but I'm the Lord's servant. Can you say that? Can you honestly say in your heart, I'm the Lord's servant? If not, you can make that right today. But we need to say, I'm the Lord's servant. You're not here for your own stuff. You were bought with a price, the Bible says. You are not your own. This isn't all about you. It's not your life. It's not your career. It's not your. It's about him. He wants to shine in and through you. That's the whole reason why you're still here when you got saved. Man, if you really gave your heart to the Lord, he would take you up to be with him. But no, Chris, he wants to use you. Wendy, Joe, Chantel, Neely. He wants to use you for his kingdom. I want to say, yes, Lord, I am your servant. And then the second part of this is so awesome. May it be, and it's up on the screen. I'm your servant. Let it be. Oh, no, one back, George. I am your servant. Let it be to me according to your word. Listen, this is so very important because she's going to be faced with so many problems and so many. Her life is not going to be easy, and neither is yours. But we have to take him at his word. Yes, Elijah. Oh, sorry, let me run the mic to you. Thanks, Sophie. You're so awesome.
The thing that stood out to me the most is that when she said, I hope you'll be able to say yes to every decision God gives you, you know, when he said, yes. When she said that to Jesus, because, you know, in the future, you know, he was going to have to make that decision, you yes. know, to take the cup of suffering. And he was going to have to say yes to the Lord.
Excellent. And you know what? So will you. You have to say yes to him no matter what. We don't like that. Especially in America, we don't want to do it. We want to do what we want to do, right? I got my clicker back, George. But that's the way that you'll be blessed. Listen, if you don't obey the Lord, you know what? And you're a born-again Christian, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be unhappy. Now, the pleasures of sin will be great for a season, but you will be the miserablest person on earth. If you want to be blessed, later on, the word says this in Luke 1:45, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Blessed are you if you choose to believe the promises that God has for you. And you. And you. And me. That's how we're blessed. Listen, the Bible says you already know this, but I'm just going to tell you anyway. And this is a reminder to you and whatever you're going through right now. Just like Mary had the trust in the Lord, it's not so much different. What God's calling you to do in this culture, he wants you to trust in the Lord with some of your heart. Oh, thank you for that correction. Yes, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And then he'll direct your path. Listen, he does. And don't just listen to the word and come in here and chew on it and then leave and forget about it. Do what it says. James 1:22 says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. That's where the blessing comes in. Listen, it's not so much different than today. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says this. His divine power has given us everything we need for what? For a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory. And the next verse goes on to say, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. He has granted that to you. Don't throw that away. Don't leave it on the shelf. And because it says, listen, those precious, great, precious promises. It says, so that through them, those promises in his word, you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world because of your sinful desire. Listen, that's how we do it. We say yes to God. We say yes to his word. That's how we do it. That's how we overcome. That's how we get blessed. That's how it happens. Yes.
What if my circumstances don't line up with what that says, that I'm not seeing the precious and very great promises being fulfilled right now?
I think that's a great question. Well, you know what? We're going to see that in Mary's life and in Joseph's life and in each person that's here. In fact, most of the time when God calls us to do something, it doesn't line up. Just to be honest, we have to trust him. Anyway, do you think Mary's going, great, everybody's going to think if I'm going to be with the Savior, nobody's going to be thinking, oh, God, you know. We had this girl, I don't even know if I should tell the story. I'm going to do it. I might get in trouble later. When I was in charge of a Christian singles group, I remember her telling me and my friend Michael Zia that like the Virgin Mary, that she conceived supernaturally. Now, that happened one time. Obviously, it was later found out that that didn't happen. But the point is, in whatever situation that you're... Listen, you're in a relationship. Maybe you got to bring it closer. Maybe there's some forgiveness. You got to let go. Maybe you're feeling anxious. You don't understand. I just can't do this. I'm too anxious. I can't go to... Well, the Bible says, okay, that's how I feel. It's real. But the Bible says, be anxious about nothing. But in prayer and supplications, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will be upon you in Christ Jesus. But I feel so alone. The Bible says, never will I leave you, never forsake you. Right, Lord, right. I've got too many burdens. I can't bear them. Jesus said, cast your burdens on him. He cares for you. You can go on and on. We go back to his word for everything, and we trust it. Listen to this real quickly. The Bible, you guys already know this. All scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful to teach us what's true and to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong. It teaches us to do what's right. If you're not in God's word, you're not putting it in you. None of us go without a meal. I ate this morning. In the Old Testament, they used to eat God's word, not with syrup and pancakes, but it was like a metaphor. And it says, when your words came to me, Jeremiah 15, 16 says, I ate them and they were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name. Man, God's word isn't, I used to eat grape nuts. I told you this story when I was a kid. It's like eating gravel. My mom and dad used to feed it to me. Because I ate them wrong. Yeah, that's Miriam told me that. But the bottom line is, do we look at the Bible like it's shredded wheat, dry, and, you know, grape nuts? Or do we look at it like, man, this is breakfast. This is my nourishment for the day. Or this is at the end of the evening. This is, oh, so I can have peace and rest. My wife's been in God's word in the last 3 months. She's been getting up an hour early, which is pretty incredible, like at 4 or 5 in the morning, so that she can spend an hour listening to the word. I think she's listening to John Corson. And she's been refreshed these last few months. She's been stronger in the Lord and better decisions and more in control over all these things because of the Lord's word. Jesus even said, he said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. I love Charles Spurgeon because he said, a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. That's a true statement. But the enemy will do all he can to keep you away from the word because he doesn't want you strong. He wants you to be a weak, impotent Christian. Now, the next person that we're going to look at is Joseph. And his dilemma is the doubting of God's plan. Okay? The doubting of God's plan. Thank you, George. Would you mind queuing up that one for me? You're amazing. I don't care what Lisa says. Yeah.
Life planning, working, saving, trying to do the right thing here. Other people, they plan for the census, they get here early, and what do? I show up with a pregnant wife who's just hours away from giving a birth after a 90-mile journey, and I can't even find a room. This is how I imagine us bringing a child into the world, especially yours. I know. I'm not the first man to have his plans rearranged by you, and I won't be the last. I guess that's what I'm saying, God, is that I don't think I'm the world-changing kind of father. There's a lot more men in this world that are braver than me. I know who I am. Trying to say, God, I'm not enough. Something inside this sawdust-covered heart of mine. Then I'll take a detour. Oh, a really big detour. But I promise you this. Even if I don't feel like enough, I'll still give you all that I have.
I feel a little bit like each one of these people. And I think God did that for a reason. Chris, can you get the lights for me just for a minute? I'm just going to read in Matthew. Luke's account is more of Mary's. Matthew's is more of Joseph's. This is in Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, that is, had sexual relations, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, in those days, that would have been an incredible scandal. But Joseph was a godly man. He was a just man, right? He knew he couldn't marry her if she was going to be unfaithful. At least that's what he thought in his mind at this point. And he knew that he still had compassion. He didn't want to put her before the courts and all this stuff and had her be an outcast. He has to do it quietly. He was a just man. He was a compassionate man. That's who Joseph was. And Joseph was a planner. I mean, you know, I don't know what would describe you in your life, you know. There's some folks who are ready, aim, fire. You know what I mean? And then there's folks that are fire, ready, aim. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes I can be both. But Joseph, he was a planner. He was a guy who measured twice and cut once to make sure things was right. And so he had this whole situation of how his life was going to go. Because he knew he was going to marry this girl. They were going to have kids. I mean, he's going to be open the shop. It's going to be great. He knows exactly. He's planning it all out. And something is wrong. His whole life plans just got dumped upside down. Sometimes that happens when you follow the Lord. Listen to this. Oh, I'm sorry, Jay. He goes on to say that he had it in his mind to divorce her quietly. That means he's thinking about it. He's planning it. But sometimes things don't go that way. The Bible says this in Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans of a man's heart or a woman's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Goes on to say, but after he considered this, the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because she is conceived in her, what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from his sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Joseph woke up. He did what the angel of the Lord commanded. I like that. He did it. He's a doer of the word. He did what the Lord commanded and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. That ends the perpetual virginity of Mary, he'll tell you right there. And then it says, and he gave him the name Jesus. So here we go. He had all sorts of plans, and everything got upended. Everything got changed around. But he did what was right in the Lord's eyes. Listen, God has plans for each one of us. We just have to choose to walk in it. Ephesians 2:10 says we're God's handiwork, his workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. The problem is many of us just choose not to do it. There's a lot of if-thens in the Bible. I don't have time to go into a lot of them, but I'll just say this is Psalm 81. This is God speaking to his people in verse 8 to 16. God's saying, I want to bless you, but you're not doing what I'm asking you to do. You're going with your plans, with what you want to do, just like Joseph was, and just like many of us, we're doing what we want to do instead of what God wants us to do. And it's not going well, is it? You know it. He said, hear me, my people, and I will warn you, if you would only listen to me. You shall have no foreign god among you. You shall not worship any other gods than me. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I'll fill it. But my people wouldn't listen to me. Israel wouldn't submit. Will you listen to God when he's telling you? Will you submit to him? He says, so I gave them over finally to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. And then he goes on to say, if my people would only listen to me, if Israel would only follow my ways, how quickly I would subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe before him and their punishment would last forever. But you would be fed with the finest of wheat, with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. Everybody tries to put the cart before the horse. Bless me, Lord. But he's saying, I want you to seek me first. The Bible doesn't say seek me second, seek me third, put me fifth on the list. you're putting that relationship before God. You're putting your finances before God. You're putting your selfish desires before God. What are you doing? I need to put him in the first slot. And sure, there are people here. Now, there are people here because they're out visiting, but there are people here who could have come and they need to hear this message. You know it probably, and I know it, and they're not here, are they? If they would have only come. Gary and I were talking this week. He's like, now that he's pastoring and teaching all the time, he's like, I cannot believe how many times I've had a message. And I know that message is for a certain person or a certain group of people. And it's like every time I bring it in, that person isn't there for that particular message. And I said, Gary, welcome to my life. You and I have to be strengthened. Who wouldn't rather have stayed in bed this morning? I want to be in bed this morning. But now that I'm here, I'm thinking, thank you, Lord, that I get to share your word and stir others up to love and good deed. Thank you that I got to see my friends and family and people I care about that are following and seeking the Lord too. Don't let anything stop you. But seek him first, his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all the rest will be added unto you. The next person is the innkeeper. And I'll make this quick, my comments afterwards, well, for time's sake, because we've got three more to go to. But the innkeeper has a dilemma of belief, a dilemma of discipleship. There's not a lot that's said about him in the Bible, but I probably relate with him the most because I was a business guy when I got saved. Didn't get saved till 30. But I digress. Let me show you the video.
Speaking of miracles, there was a certain couple that showed up late tonight. I can't seem to shake the impression they made on me. The girl was more fatigued than a woman should ever look. All she wanted was just a place to rest. But I had nothing. The husband pleading with such desperation. What kind of businessman would take pause with that? What could I do? Bethlehem was packed. No fault of my own. And that's where the book would have closed on the matter had it not been for my dear, dear sweet wife. The jab in the ribs from her finger telling me I might want to rethink my position on things. I very clearly knew my options. A, I could find them a place to sleep, or B, I could find myself a place to sleep. Seriously, my wife, Estelle, had seen something that I had completely missed. The girl, she was pregnant. There was no way I was going to leave her out in the cold night. But the barn, it was all ahead. They were grateful. There's something different about them. Something. It's a quirky word. A word we simply don't use anymore. But holy. It's really the only word that fits. They say the baby, that he's the Messiah. The one who's going to change everything. Could he really be the one that we've been waiting for after all these years? All my life, disbelief has paralyzed me, I suppose you could say. But this has given me a chance to believe. Bethlehem will be waking up soon. People going to want food in their stomach. They're going to be registered for the census. All these people in their own little worlds, no one knowing that a savior has entered the world. Out of all the places on earth, God chose my place to bring hope into the world. I'm certainly not a very worthy man, but I am a grateful one. And Estelle, I've never seen that woman happier in years. As for me, there will always be things to buy and sell, but this has given me a new kind of heart. A heart that believes. Oh, what a holy night.
Now, I associate with him the most because when I got saved, I was in my 30s. I owned a computer company, and I grew up in church, but I just never really believed and gave my heart and life over to him. That's where the change took place. You know, the first thing, the first scripture, well, there's two scriptures. The first one that comes to mind, this guy's in here, the innkeeper, buying, selling. Hey, there's no room. Let's move on with life, right? I got things to do, places to see, whatever. People to see, places to go. I don't have time. I'm busy about my work. The Bible says a couple things about finances and money, and actually it says a lot about it. But I'll just do this one quickly. One thing it says, oh, thanks, George. What does it profit a man? Matthew 16:26, to gain the whole world and lose your soul. What does it profit you if you gain that relationship, if you gain the finances, if you gain that high, if you gain that independence, if you gain that respect, if you gain that popularity and you lose your soul in the process? It means nothing. Right? The first scripture the Lord ever taught me. I remember being in the dentist, waiting to go into dentist office, and I was in my car because I didn't want anybody to see me reading this Bible because I was a cool, important business guy. And I read this, and he had me memorize it. It's in 1 John 2:15-17. It says, don't love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. But then it says in verse 17, the world and its desires will soon pass away, but the man who does the will of God will live forever. Now, I don't know about this innkeeper, but I know if he chose to follow Jesus, there's a cost involved. Luke 9:23 says, Jesus was talking to his disciples. He said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me daily. In order to minister to more people, I left my own company. I gave it away so I could take a 70% reduction in pay cut. Whoop-de-dang-doo. Many of you have given up lots more things that I don't know. Maybe you've given up promotions. Maybe you've given up friends or relationships or popularity or prestige. But it's going to cost us something. But what we gain is so much more. But there's a cost involved. Luke 14:33 says, and I love how the message puts it. Simply put, if you're not willing to take what is dearest to you, whether plans or people, and kiss it goodbye, you can't be my disciple. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the rest will be added unto you. All right, we got two more. The next is the wise men, and theirs is the dilemma of obedience. You see, just like when we're studying in Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, you can't do this. You have to bow down before me. And they said, no, we're not going to do this. Our Lord is able to rescue us, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down to your false image. There are some times when we're going to have to choose to obey. All right? And that shows God how much we love him. All right.
Let him know when we find the baby. He too would like to worship this new king. But then instructions came from a different order. Instructions that only come from dreams. Dreams of biblical proportions. And this is what the dream said. Don't return to the king. So simple, so straightforward. And that is the dilemma that I'm wrestling with. Do I listen to earthly authority? Or maybe do I listen to the godly type? And the traveler in me, the wise men as it were to say, go see King Herod and give him what he wants. But my heart tells a different story. Says that maybe this child deserves every ounce of obedience that I could give, even if I don't quite understand the roadmap yet. If following a star seemed difficult, following this new king may be the greatest challenge yet. Yes, my friend. I think you and I, we are going to take the long way home.
Like those wise men, they did travel from afar. God spoke to them, and they had to choose to obey earthly authority or to obey God, and they chose to obey God. Obedience is important. I've heard so many say, oh, I'm a Christian. I almost don't even like hearing that anymore. There's a verse in 1 John. I'm just going to read it to you. It's not on the screen, but I felt like the Lord was speaking it to me, so I'm looking it up for you right now. It's in 1 John chapter 2, and it's about obedience. Just like those wise men had to choose to obey God, and just like you have to choose to obey him, the word says this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. That's pretty profound, isn't it? Verse 4 goes on to say, the man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth isn't in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. And this is how we know we're in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. In other words, they must obey. John 14:21, this will be one of the memory verses you'll have in experiencing God. It says, those who accept my commands or those who keep my commands and obey them, they are the one who loves me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. So God says if you obey him, he will show himself to you. So the more you obey, the more he shows himself to you. It's an amazing thing, but that only comes with obedience. John 14:23 says, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to make our home in them, with them. God's going to be at home in your heart as you obey him, because you're welcoming into every area of your heart. That's what he wants. You can't exclude him from some rooms. He wants to be Lord of your life in every area, and there must be obedience. I'm speeding this up a little bit, but go ahead, for time's sake. Yes, Mark, go ahead. John 14:31, sure.
And this is Jesus, and he says, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father has given me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go from here. And from there he went straight to the cross.
Yeah. He was obedient even to death on a cross. And you may need to be obedient even to death. Now, some ways that seems kind of easy. Now, hear me out. It's not easy to die, but I'll take a bullet for him right now if that means, Lord, I'll be with you. Okay, how about you die to the sin? Oh, Lord, that's too difficult. Can't do it. What? No, we need to be obedient. Watch him empower you. Watch him empower me. And then this is the last one. It's the shepherds. And this is the last dilemma, I guess. This is the dilemma of all. And I don't know. I kind of associate with these shepherds too. George, if you'd roll that film and I'll, if you don't mind. Thanks, brother. And turn it up a bit, would you, George?
I can't believe this is happening. Oh, I got to get a grip. I got to tell people. That's what I got to do. I got to go tell people. I got to share the news. I got to let them know that, who's going to listen to me, huh? Who's going to listen to me? I mean, it's not like I have any kind of reputation. People don't give me two looks. And I'm going to be the one. I'm going to be the one to talk about angel sighting and Messiah's coming. Okay. Okay. No, I just got to put my manners on. That's it. I put my manners on. I got to talk right. That's it. And then I got to clean up. I can do that. I can clean out under my fingernails. There's no hiding this man. It just don't make sense. None of it makes sense. Maybe that's it. He said, good news. Good news of great joy for everyone. Because the Savior was born today in Bethlehem. He said we'd recognize him by a very specific sign. He said that baby would be wrapped in cloth and lying in a... And this was the kicker. That baby would be lying in a manger. A Messiah in a feeding trough. Oh, I mean, even my family was better off than that. We didn't have two sticks to rub together, but at least I had a bed to lay my head in when I was a kid. I've been waiting my whole life for this Messiah. And now it seems he may be more like me than I ever thought possible. Yeah, I think that angel got it wrong. This ain't good news. This is the best news ever. Come on, boys.
Hezekiah, would you make sure that everybody gets one of these? Okay? Everyone gets one of those. Okay, would you hand them out now? You know, and I think of those shepherds, for those of you guys who don't know, those shepherds were kind of like, we think, oh, they're so nice. A shepherd, nobody wanted to be around. They were the rabble. They were the ones that nobody really listened to. I have a little whiny thing. I said, nobody listens to me. Nobody listened to a shepherd. I don't even think, if I remember correctly, by law, if you were a shepherd, their testimony wasn't even allowed in court because they were just a shepherd. Now listen, the neat thing about God is he's just as comfortable reaching to somebody on Wall Street or at Walmart. He can reach the highest people in the biggest areas, in the richest, most powerful places, or he can reach people like me. In a lot of ways, I feel like a shepherd, like sometimes like a nobody, but God says, you're a somebody. And who did he announce it to first? Nathan said this. Who did the King of Kings, who did the angels announce the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Not to the people, and not to Herod and his kingdom, not to the people in Jerusalem, the priests and the leaders and the fancy schmokes. He announced it to the shepherds, to the lowest of low, even to say, hey, I love you. I'm for everybody, for all. And even though sometimes you can't believe it, that God loves you, he does. He does. So don't you let that old devil tell you anything different and believe his lies. You believe what the Lord has said to you. Listen, it says, and this is in 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, it says, this is good and it pleases God our Savior. He wants all people to be saved, every single one of us. He wants them to come to know the truth, and that is Jesus. It says he's the way, the truth, and the life. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He hasn't just come to show us the way. He says, I am the way, come with me. 1 Timothy 2, 5, and 6 says, for there is one God and one mediator, God, between God and mankind, and that's the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself up as a ransom for all people. And the Bible says this, which is beautiful. It says that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what? I'm a whosoever. And I'm proud of it. Now, can I tell you one last thing? We might think, what do we got to offer? Who are we to tell anybody, right? You know your faults. You know your fables. You know your foibles. You know your weaknesses. But we know our God. And he tells us to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. You don't got to clean yourself up first. You're never going to get clean enough. He has to clean you from the inside out. That's what being born again is about. Whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, clean me from the inside out. And then go and tell people. Mark 16:15, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. And for those of you, if there's anyone here who hasn't made that choice, this is the gospel. God created us to be with him because he loves us. In the garden, that relationship was severed and broken. And our sin separates from us from a holy God. Our sins can't be removed by good works. Nothing can fix that gap and that relationship between a holy God and our sinful selves. Nothing. Well, except for Jesus Christ. You see, he's Emmanuel with us. God himself came down to pay the price we couldn't pay and to live the life we couldn't live. And paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again, shed his blood for us so that everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. And life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. That's the good news. You're sick, you're dying, you're severed from your relationship with God. That's the bad news. But the gospel means good news. That a Savior has come, that you might have life and have it abundantly. So get off your seat. Stop being stuck in your head. Stop focusing on what's wrong in your life. And simply say yes to whatever dilemma. Simply trust in God's plan for your life. Simply choose to believe, like the innkeeper. Simply obey him at his word. And it's not easy sometimes, but he'll empower you to do it as you trust in him. And then go and tell everybody this Christmas what you found. You've each been given a DVD. It's for you to watch, and then it's for you to give it away. Go and tell someone what he has done for you. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you that your message is just as true and just as prevalent back then as it is right now. We all have those same dilemmas, Lord, that we need to learn to say yes to your word. We need to trust in you, Lord God, no matter what, and in your plan for our lives. We need to obey, Lord. We need you, and we need to just receive all that you have for us. I pray for anyone right now who has a blockage, whether that's mentally, Lord God, or spiritually, to saying yes to you and to your word, whether it be fear, they're bound up with fear, or self-loathing. I rebuke and reject that in Jesus' name, Lord. I ask you to loose those bonds and those hooks that are in them. Release them free in Jesus' name, that they can run in the path of your commands, Lord, as Psalm 119 says, obeying you fully, Father. I pray that for me. I pray that for my wife. I pray that for my kids. I pray that for my church family, Lord God, for the school, that we will run free in the path of your commands and understand what that is. And then go and tell that to other people, Lord God, trusting in you, Lord. Help us to go and tell the world what you have done for us, that whoever would believe in you would not perish, but have everlasting life. We love you, Lord. Bless this group of family, this congregation, Lord, with your blessing as they trust in you. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen and amen. Merry Christmas, guys. God bless you guys.